Okay, everybody, this is Tom, and it's 11 my time, so let's get started. I have put everybody on mute just so we can keep things kind of focused and quiet, especially as I'm channeling for you for a portion of the call today. The title of the call is, well, first of all, thanks for calling in. Thank you for joining me with this. This is information that is really important for us now, and I'm happy to be able to offer it and to bring it through. So the call is called Rethinking Responsibility, and I spend a lot of my energy with clients and the writing and channeling work I do helping flesh out the concept of what the Aquarian Age is all about and contrasting for people what we've been experiencing and what we've been trained to think, be, and do during the Piscean Age. And it's been roughly about 2,100 years that the Piscean Age has been in play. And as we talk about it now, some people might be tempted to talk about it kind of as a four-letter word because we seem to be bursting at the seams with this impulse to grow in wonderful new directions. And so, of course, where we are, we want to poo-poo or not really appreciate. But the Piscean Age has been incredibly important, and yet we are on the very last legs of it, the beginning of the end of the Piscean Age. So as I spent time with the Ascended Master Druidy, from whom you'll hear in a bit, it's become really clear that the only way mathematically, perhaps it hasn't started, as far as the actual precession of the equinoxes, the cycle of the ages goes. But the reality is that we can choose now, because the Mayan calendar is done as of the end of October of 2011, certain features of consciousness are in place that now we can seed the Aquarian Age here and now. And so a lot of what you're going to be hearing today as far as rethinking responsibility is me talking and Jehudi talking about how we have come to think of responsibility and what that word triggers in us versus a new conception that we can move forward with. And if after you hear from Jehudi, you're interested in hearing more from him, I do offer quite a number of channeled MP3s on my site and also four channeled books that are available on Kindle, Amazon, ebooks from me, and also in paperback, various places. So there's a kind of a wealth right now of teachings from him through me in order to help us come out of the Piscean Age, take responsibility for our lives, but in the right way, as you'll hear in this call. And then after the message from him, I will, I don't know if he will do it or I will do it, but if I do it, I'm telling you what he sees. So it's all kind of the same thing. But talking about the Mars retro that has now begun in Virgo, and then the Saturn retro in that will take place in Libra that starts in a little over a week, maybe 10 or 11 days. And then we're going to talk about Neptune and Pisces. And I'm going to give you an overview of the Neptune and Pisces, and then I'm going to direct you to an MP3 that I recorded and I'm offering through my site that's all about the collective and individual limitations for Neptune going into Pisces, and that's on my site at tdjacobs.com. So I'm going to take a moment and transition into the channeling space, and Judy will introduce himself. So hope you enjoy the call, and thanks again for calling in. So just stay tuned. Hello, everyone. This is the Ascended Master Jehudi speaking. I'm also known to some of you as Thoth or Toth, and also Saint Germain and Merlin, and perhaps some other names. And I am an Ascended Master, which simply is a particular kind of job title, and I hang around Earth in order to be of assistance to humans. My particular commitment, because each Ascended Master does have a unique job description, my particular responsibility is to help you evolve in any way that I can, in whatever ways that means. At this current stage in your evolution, evolving means expanding your consciousness. Many of you have over time done this in different ways, and yet now you are after what is known as the end of the Mayan calendar. October 28, 2011, according to the Earth timeline, is the end of this calendar, which tracks the evolution of consciousness. As we speak today about responsibility, and I invite you to rethink how you approach and experience this concept and this reality, I will be contrasting for you some Piscean Age thinking and letting you know how to come into some Aquarian Age thinking. Because these two signs are next to each other. Any two signs in the zodiac that are next to each other are radically different. They have very different ways of doing things, and very different reasons for doing things. And they have different methods, and they want different things. And so whenever there is a change of age, it is in one way rather drastic, because the entire backdrop of consciousness begins to shift. So as far as responsibility goes, in the Piscean age, one of the major things to say about this way of being is that it is a top-down approach. In the Piscean age, it becomes a top-down approach. To begin with, in the Piscean age, one of the main methods of Pisces is to go with the flow, to adapt to what is happening around you, to identify the flow of life and the universe and the world around you, and even society and your neighbors and your family, and to surrender something about yourself in order to fit in appropriately. And this is the strategy for survival and success and health and well-being in the Piscean age. One of the reasons that the Piscean age happens, because nothing can happen without it serving the evolution of all that is, which is all souls and all beings together, all those consciousnesses banded together. That's the creator energy, the source. But one of the reasons it happens is because cohesion is important. And then you cycle through about 2,100 years of going with the flow, and then it is time to develop your individuality in order to change what the flow is. So right now, responsibility. Responsibility has, in your world, in your thinking, the way you have grown up over many thousands of years, responsibility has a judging edge to it. You have been living in this Saturnian culture, which is about rules and structure and discipline and paying attention to who is in authority and having people who are not in authority follow the others. And during this Piscean age time, adapting to this, you are responsible for going with the flow. You are responsible for listening to people who seem more qualified than you to make decisions. So ultimately, as you go with the flow, somebody has to be in charge. And this is where it becomes a top-down approach, where there is a decision maker at the top, and all decisions are filtered down through the ranks, down all to all the people who are not supposed to think for themselves, because they are supposed to be going with the flow. As we speak about these particular planetary transits that Seth has mentioned, or Channel has mentioned, we'll get more specific about how those particular events are inviting you to rethink what responsibility is and what the opportunity is in the present moment and over the next few weeks, specifically with these three major events. But to continue with this Piscean age approach on responsibility, you are responsible for not standing out. And thus far, in the last 2,100 years, unless you are exceptional and are put in a leadership position, you are responsible for basically not thinking for yourself. That you are responsible for blending in, for getting lost in the crowd in order to help humanity and therefore all that is, or divine intelligence, learn about cohesion. So this has been incredibly important. To learn to identify as a member of a mass, a member of a group, a member of a mass movement of a country, a nation, an ethnic group, a tribe, but learning about yourself through submitting to the flow of energy and consciousness around you. That's been paramount. Now, as this change of age happens, the Piscean age begins to breathe its last breaths, so to speak. The new thing that you are invited to step into is to make decisions for yourself. Of course, that directly brings up the issue of responsibility and who is responsible for what. In the Piscean age, you're responsible for not thinking. And in the Aquarian age, you are responsible for thinking. You are responsible for making decisions for yourself. Ultimately, because you have spent so much time going with the flow and surrendering your identity as a discrete individual whose opinion and thought process are valid, the Aquarian age, this invitation I bring to you today that is actually surrounding you, I'm simply articulating it, can snatch some of you out of some comfort zones that pretty much don't work and throw you into situations that you don't know how to work well, because you are supposed to know yourself deeply. In the Aquarian Age, nothing can happen if individuals do not know themselves. One of the ideas about Aquarius and its associated planet Uranus is that it is about groups of people and or friends or something like this. And this is true. But a person cannot know the right friends for him or her, or the right group or groups, until he or she knows exactly who he or she is. So the growing pains that you are going through right now are to take back wherever you have given responsibility to somebody else for your life, and to say, who am I? And to go through a frankly rigorous, but please make it a loving process, of self-knowledge, gaining and deepening into self-knowledge. You didn't need to do that in the Piscean Age. You could sit around and have other people make decisions for you. And other people tell you what your life should look like. And other people tell you whom to marry. And other people tell you what to believe and what deities to worship, what you should do with your life, how you should make money, what you should say, what you should think, and how you should behave in the world. In the Aquarian Age, the foundation of that social religious structure crumbles. You are now seeing that in terms of the financial system, where many people are freaking out and running around as chickens with no heads, specifically because the foundation of the people telling you who you should be and what you should do is crumbling. Everybody who brings to this channel and to me questions about this freaking out and this running around as if with no head, we support in helping these people, all people, understand that your choices, your decisions, your will, your what is in your heart reflects your divinity. You, as a species and as individuals, have always created what you have experienced. And now you're in the position of needing to own that so that you can do it in a more conscious way. So these are very complex topics, and as the channel has mentioned, there are numerous teachings from me through him available through his site and these book websites, etc. I invite you to dive in. I invite you to step in and read all of them, because I am coming through now because you are needing these teachings. You are needing to understand how to unplug from this collective mind and to develop your own mind. And in the process, you must do, many of you, an incredible amount of past life healing, because you have been told that you cannot think for yourself, and you have been told that what you want for yourself is probably not right, and what you know about yourself is probably not true. And hear, do, be, say, think these other things. And many of you have frustration with a lack, maybe a perceived lack of leadership when it comes to initiating the New Age. And this is one of the things. You must seed it within yourself, and therefore your home, and therefore your neighborhood and community and family. The only way the Aquarian Age happens, it's not that it ticks one day, the clock reaches a certain number and suddenly everything's different. You must evolve your consciousness willingly. Now, that is the basic idea and responsibility. Right now, actually for the last several years, you have had the Pluto transiting in Capricorn. And that, Seth, the channel likes this question, who's your daddy? Because when Pluto hit Capricorn and the financial fiascos began being revealed, these situations that had been long in play that were not working and were doing nobody any good were finally kind of revealed en masse. And this question, who's your daddy, who's responsible for you? And so you've had several years of working through the lens of the cosmic bulldozer, which is Pluto's role, is to bulldoze what does not work. Well, now Saturn will retrograde in Libra. So you have the opportunity to, within your relationships, observe what you believe you are responsible for. Mars is retrograding now in Virgo. This is the planet of action and the sign of responsibility, and the sign of discrimination and discernment and making choices, the point of action and the sign of making choices, and it's retrograding. So again, responsibility. What are you individually responsible for? And then Neptune goes into Pisces, and there is this invitation to learn to adjust to being a part of the collective. Now, as I say to you today, you're coming out of the Piscean age, and you must step into the Aquarian age in a conscious way, each one of you individually, by owning every single one of your experiences, good and bad, painful and terrible and wonderful, as your creations, as the divine intelligence, and then stepping into conscious creation given that creative power. Well, now I'm saying Neptune is going to go in Pisces. Now something will need to be surrendered, even as you develop more individuality. This is a funny time, isn't it? It's a unique situation to be in. Here I am telling you that you must stop surrendering your individuality, but now you must begin surrendering something about you. What I want to offer you is that this ingress of Neptune to the sign Pisces, which is thought to be its own sign, considered the ruler of this sign, what you must do, and either I or the channel will get into this in more detail in a little bit, but as far as responsibility goes, I want to get into this a little now. What you surrender is not your individuality, but your conception of yourself as your ego. In all the teachings that you hear from me, I will never shame ego. Ego is an expression of your divine power. And yet, is your ego aligned with your heart? And when it comes to this Neptune and Pisces business, the question, is your ego aligned with your heart, in fact, has to do with, is your ego aligned with who you know you are as an entire being? We tend to, when we are humans, experience ourselves as a body, as a personality, as preferences and desires, as a mind, and as emotions or heart, feelings. And when you live in your heart, you, in fact, tie together all these things. The heart is the bridge between all portions of your being. So when I say to you, is your ego aligned with what is in your heart? What is in your heart is actually the sensation of when you find truth. Your heart is what we could call a truth meter. It is a simple circuit. It is either on or off, open or closed. Are you encountering truth right now? Your heart is open. Are you encountering illusion or deceit? Your heart will not be open unless your mind has caused your heart to be open in hopes that something might turn out to be true that might not be. And that's the believing in illusion. So yes, you must surrender something. You each must surrender something. There's also this notion that when Neptune goes into Pisces, everything will be better in a Neptunian or Piscean way. And yet again, I point out the fact that you have each individual has a choice on what to do. The impetus to connect to truth, the inspiration to escape, each of these will get cranked up, and so you must choose what to do. Now, as Mars is retrograding in Virgo, and you are looking at where your energy goes, your energy, your inspiration, your active self, which is Mars, where it goes and what you're doing. The retrograde says, please rethink where you're going. Now, because it's in Virgo, discernment, discrimination, responsibility, and duty are issues here. Is what you're doing fitting with your duty to yourself as a being? Or is what you're doing ego-based, alone? When your ego is aligned with the rest of you, then your ego is a wonderful asset. Again, I do not shame ego in any context. I just invite you to choose to be whole. Ego is, in essence, tied to mind. And humans have come to experience themselves through the lens of mind for as long as there have been humans, in fact. But it has really blown up over the last few thousand years for different reasons. And so are you willing to be whole? Are you willing to be more? And that is what this all of this is about. So, where you are now, you are at a juncture, and you have the opportunity to continue as you have been, to stay in old patterns, to maintain beliefs that have stuck with you for many, many lives, or you have the opportunity to be in your body, in your heart, and in your mind all together at the same time, 24/7, and see how to steer your life in conscious ways, to steer the ship of your life in an intentional way, in a particular direction. Whenever anybody chooses to evolve in some way that we think of as spiritual, it is true that the pain from the past comes up. Why am I not in that better, quote-unquote, better state, you might ask? And you begin to change your habits. You begin to change how you live and what you eat and how you communicate and what kinds of relationships are in your life and how you treat people and how you participate with others treating you. And then pain from the past about some of these things comes up. And you must work through this. Please, please do everything you can to work through this. Essentially, you are not the sum of your experiences. You are not the sum of your memories and your history. You are not your pain from the past. All of these things have around them developed identities about who you are. So you're at an incredible juncture, an amazing opportunity to shift gears, to see yourself as a divine being, to accept in that process, to accept responsibility for all you have created, and then to move forward. Now, the end of the Mayan calendar is over. And what that means is that certain, what we might call technologies of consciousness, are available to each of you. Not every single one can drop in your lap, so to speak, immediately. But there is a certain kinds of arcs or progressions of how the tools line themselves up and become available to you. So as if you're familiar with any of the teachings that I offer, there is a certain step, and I keep mentioning this, taking responsibility for all you've created because you're a divine being. And when you do that, you can make peace with why you've created pain for yourself, why you've experienced pain, and then you can move forward with conscious creation. This is the basic template. And yet, in the process of seeking to take responsibility for pain, there is sometimes a very rocky road of having to deal with these pains from the past that have been not dealt with, that have been surfacing from time to time when a certain situation gets difficult, but have not necessarily been on the surface unless you are, and I say this with kindness, but if you are sitting around weeping about it, then it is on the surface. But it is usually not in your conscious mind. Usually these parts of you take over when they cannot hide anymore. And so you must go through a process of confronting these feelings and changing your mind about why they meant, what they meant, why they happened. You are a powerful divine being creating all of this. So these technologies come in, but they are all available now. The channel is experiencing a certain sort of recall of past life realities or things that are happening at other stages or other points along the Earth timeline that you might call past lives, but are just simply, from my perspective, outside your dimension, outside your time-space continuum. They are other lives associated with his soul, and I have, he has spent a great deal of energy. I've spent time with him. He has spent a great deal of time and energy connecting with the consciousness of the soul, the level of consciousness that is behind all of his human lives, and that is one technology. And so now he is dealing with these past life memories, and other people are too. He has a number of clients who are learning to integrate these parts as well. And so then you integrate that, and then you work with them on an ongoing basis. And so the point is that there are certain technologies of consciousness that you may encounter in a certain order, and these are all good. And I invite you to stay grounded. And the channel actually on his website offers a free meditation. You can download this MP3, and he will guide you through meditation to get grounded, which is connecting to the earth, and then also opening your heart and clearing out your energy field. And you do this on a regular basis, whatever energies you carry that do not belong to you, and that supports any of these technologies of consciousness that can that are ready to come in. Another related issue is that of working with guides of one kind or another. This is very important for you at this stage in the journey as well. And the channel will speak about Neptune and Pisces and guides in just a few minutes. He's informing me. And yes, you have to bear with us as we have a little conference. We have a little meeting behind the scenes here about what we're dividing up the responsibilities for the call as we flow here. But there are certain technologies, and if you are open and you are grounded and you are willing to see yourself as a divine creator, having created all you have experienced, then frankly life, the universe, and the rest of all that is, embodied and not embodied, will conspire to support you in releasing the past and becoming present so that you can inhabit yourselves essentially as the loving creative beings that you are. The energy of creation is that of love, and the energy of love is that of creation. So forgive everyone for everything. Release everyone, including yourself, of everything, and you will be in a good position to embrace the evolutionary opportunities. But you, as I invite you to see the Aquarian Age now, you are the center of this story. You are the prime mover of your evolution. Thank you for joining this call today. I will recede, and the channel, Seth, you know him as Tom, will come forward, and he will speak more about the astrology and the, so to speak, psychology of these three, spiritual psychology and psychology of these three astrological events. So please bear with us for one moment, and then the channel will come back to you. Thank you again for calling. It's been wonderful sharing these words with you and having your attention. It is always a pleasure for me to share with you what I can. Thank you. Okay. So we'll shift gears just a little bit, and this is Tom. Jehudi calls me Seth, just for the record. That's kind of a spiritual name, and he knows my name is Tom. It just doesn't work. energetically, it doesn't seem to work for the part of me that channels. So I'm Seth. So that's where we are. This incredible juncture of coming out of thinking we're responsible for essentially limiting and betraying ourselves. That's really the net result of the Piscean Age. It's as Judy said, it is incredibly important that we experience learning to go with the flow. But at the end of this age now, we certainly have a contrast. Each one of us has a certain kind of contrast that arises, or a tension that arises in our reaction to the expectations of the Piscean Age. So we're expected to do what our parents wanted us to do, or, you know, maybe we feel we won't be loved if we don't pursue certain sorts of relationships or something like this. And we see the cost of giving up our individuality. And so while the Piscean Age is important, in one way it is important that we go with the flow in order so that we can wake up. We can just wake the hell up and come out of it, snap out of this haze of being told that we should be listening to others about who we are, and now it's time to take what is compassionate and loving but self-interested action to individuate. So that's the theme of the next part of the call, this next half hour that we're going to be talking together, or I'm talking at you rather, because you're all muted. So let's start with this Mars in Virgo. Now, these Mars retrogrades happen approximately every 2 years. So it's not something, you know, Mercury retrograde happens approximately 3 weeks each time, three times a year. So we have this kind of, you know, familiarity with that, especially if we move in astrological circles. We have a certain kind of concept and mental construct of what that's about. And but the Mars retrograde is harder. Mars represents will, action, self-assertion, a self-interest, you know, self-interested action. It represents, and then extensions of all those things, boundaries, conflict, war, rescue, defense. Rescue, being a savior of some kind, saving something. And also a certain kind of leadership And then in general, Mars represents beginning things. So as Mars has been in Virgo recently before the retrograde, we've had the opportunity to put a critical eye on what we do. Now, sometimes it can look as though we perhaps shouldn't be doing what we're doing, because the Virgo thing also is about criticizing and judging. So from my perspective, there are a couple layers of this Mars in Virgo story that's unfolding, and then I'll talk about what it means that it's retrograde in terms of that. But in general, when Mars transits Virgo, we're invited to become analytically aware of what we're doing. Now, that can be a drag. Think about the natural inconjunct or quincunx, five signs away from Aries associated with Mars and Virgo, which I wrote about in my blog recently, if anybody happened to catch that, because the planet of action does not sit around and analyze things, which is what the mode of Virgo is about. And Virgo is about detail-oriented work, and Mars is about exploding onto the scene and bursting forth with inspiration. So in general, with the Mars and Virgo, sometimes we might see, we might perceive that we can't really move forward with something, or that you have inspiration, but suddenly you have to go back and check a list of 4,032 details in order to just move forward. And what a drag that is for Mars. That's a kind of baseline thing. Now, when you become aware of what you're doing and why, and if you judge it, like I said, a natural mode of living in Virgo, then you find that things get even harder when you're judging yourself. So another layer of the Mars in Virgo experience that I want to put your attention on is showing you, I mean, any Virgo transit, any planet transiting through Virgo can help you see this. But but with Mars there, you know, putting your eye on your instinctive impulse to judge something, to judge yourself, to judge just situations that don't work, and to judge other people for not being perhaps as fast as you. That's a Mars and Virgo thing too. Mars just needs to get up and go. But Virgo, all these details, and many times details come from other people, pointing out to us, because they don't want us to be sloppy, or they don't want us to, you know, to go off half-cocked, so to speak, or half-baked. So now that it's retro, there is this important issue of rethinking and revisiting what's going on. So I say that Mars and Virgo will help you see how you judge something. Well, go through a few steps with me, and when you judge something, you think that something is wrong. Now, there is a standard against which everything is measured when we have that. It's not always obvious to us. We just say, well, I mean, this, you know, we just might react to a situation with, well, this just doesn't work for me. Well, why doesn't it work for you? There is a certain standard you're carrying against which, a benchmark that you're measuring everything against as far as this experience goes. So when it's retrograde, you can think into why you have this benchmark. What is worth criticizing? What is worth judging? You know, what? How have I categorized things and classified things in order to get myself and my mind and my opinions to this place? The retrograde is about not moving forward. So first, Mars goes into Virgo and all these details pop up that might gum up the works and slow things down. And then the station happens, which is, you know, Mars staring at you across a crowded room, and, you know, you can't escape the gaze of this planet of action, and it can't move. And now it's going backwards. And so progress can actually seem to be totally dead in the water. For people who have strong Mars energy, whether they, you know, run that in a healthy way or not is a separate issue. But for those of us who run a strong Mars energy, and I'm included, I have Mars in the first, it's kind of a loud Mars, we get the invitation to observe, you know, where our energy goes, what we're doing, what we're up to. And but this notion of responsibility and rethinking it, this benchmark against which things are measured with this critical eye, this critical Virgoan eye, where does that come from? I guarantee you that most of them, if not all of them, for each of us, come from some conditioning source that is somebody else's idea. So if you want, you can sit down and analyze this on your own. Look at your own thought process. Think about something right now that's really annoying you, that's really frustrating you, and ask yourself, actually have a notebook out so you can record the answers. Very fruitful. And ask, why does this annoy me? Why am I critical of this? And ask why until you get to the place where you can ask, whose opinion is that? Because we're all conditioned. And so in terms of rethinking responsibility with this call, you know, with this the entire theme of this hour together today, there is this incredibly invaluable opportunity to become aware of that original conditioning source. Every time you stub your toe and have to stop and can't proceed, every time you bring forth some great idea and the world, the universe, you know, life itself says, oh no, you got to wait, because that's a Mars retrograde thing. Every time that happens, look to your frustration, look at it, look at yourself, but look at it with compassion and dig down in and find out where is the original conditioning source. I guarantee you it's a Piscean age thing or portion of garbage that has been handed down for, you know, 2,100 years at minimum. So you have the opportunity to get down in there. Now, as Judy was saying, the technologies of consciousness, conscious evolution, are in place. And so one of the things that is about, and it actually comes into play for this conversation, this part of the conversation, as well as definitely the Neptune and Pisces in a few minutes, but there is this real well, it's a, how do you say this? Oh, hold on one second. Well, this phrase that comes through Jehudi is that the veils have dissolved, that the partitions between dimensions, including within our own consciousness as divine beings, are dissolved. And that is why he was talking about me recalling some past life memories, and a lot of people are having things rise to the surface. In the context of this part of the conversation, for you to actually see where some conditioning influence comes from, can help you free yourself from lifetimes of karma about the right use of will, about where your energy goes, about what you choose, what you want, and what's most important to you, and also how you go about analyzing something. If you don't know people who have a strong Virgo energy who are compassionate, meaning if the people you can think of who have strong Virgo are very, very critical, understand that they're, you know, critical of themselves more than anybody else, even if it's a rampant external criticism, it's actually heightened inside. And that is actually an inheritance from culture shapers as well. Because the reality is that Virgo simply wants details to work, wants things to work well in a detail-oriented way, wants to improve something. And so every time you find yourself being critical with this Virgo energy, look to the source of it, dig down in it. You have the ability now to get into where this originally came from and to shed it, to give it back, and to choose to believe what you would rather believe in this moment, to be present and express what you'd rather express right now. So that is the Mars and Virgo deal. I might revisit it in terms of the other two in a minute, but I want to move on to the Saturn in Libra retrograde, which begins beginning of the second week in February. This is happening at 29 Libra, and over the following 5 months, it's going to go back, it looks like about 7 degrees in Libra, which is about 22. And, you know, if you have... Oh, by the way, the Mars retrograde is going to go to mid-April, and it's going to go back to about 3 degrees and 41 minutes of Virgo. So it's covering from 23 Virgo to 3 Virgo. So that's quite a bit. And all the people, or a lot of the people with Pluto and Virgo, will have their Plutos and perhaps some of the Uranuses triggered by this Mars. And so there's kind of a juicy story in there as well. So Saturn, what is Saturn about is... the invitation to work hard and get specific about being responsible for things, being mature, having discipline, and also working for things over the long haul. Now, Mars and Virgo, I talked about this this situation with our propensity to judge when we're experiencing Virgo. Well, Saturn is also a lot about judging. And sometimes I make a joke, if you're on my email list, I'll say something and then I'll say, for all you Capricorn, Virgo, and types, please don't judge this. Please don't judge what's coming up for you. Don't judge the feelings. Because these are the two archetypes that are the best at as criticism, including self-criticism. So Saturn always looks at things and says, what's not right here, and what can you do by getting off the couch and putting away whatever you're enjoying doing and getting to work? How can you change it by hard work? Now, Saturn is in Libra. I actually have a Saturn in Libra teleclass that I did when it entered Libra. That's also available through my site. So that's actually extremely useful, too. And I do talk about the Saturn retrograde in that class as well. So check that out if you're interested in a fuller discussion of this. But, you know, Libra is about creating fairness, harmony, and balance. So Saturn is saying, where are you not really creating that? Where are you not fair? Where are you not balanced? And because Libra has much to do with relationships, meaning that harmony, fairness, and balance are the vehicles for us to learn about these things, then the Saturn is playing itself out a lot in relationships. When we live a Libra story, we always look to another person for an answer or for reflection or definition of ourselves. One of the main things about Saturn in Libra, as it's been there, maybe the last almost couple of years, is that we're challenged to not look to others for our definition. When we look to others, we might find Saturn in a way that feels uncomfortable, a judging, non-compassionate, hard-edged thing. Some of us who are working on healing Saturn issues will manifest those sorts of interactions quite a bit, and others of us may simply just encounter it sometimes, though I argue that many of us are trying to heal Saturn crap because of this, the way the patriarchy has unfolded over the last 6,000 years, the way that this whole top-down approach and the whole you know, diminishing the feminine and elevating the masculine, which is the mind, has worked, because the mind is a wonderful judge, or the mind is at least an incredibly well, you know, the flow of judgment is very open with the mind. That's where it comes from. So we look to our relationships and find Saturn. Now, Saturn is also limitation. Saturn is also the invitation to realism and structure, and discipline. And discipline here is about structure in order to achieve a goal. Discipline is not the kind of punishing for something, though that is how many of us paint Saturn in our lives. I actually have a Saturn book, a book on Saturn, in order to help people, you can check my site out for that too, to help people change their mind from this inner judge and critic into a loving parent, because that's the other side of the Saturn energy. So if we're dealing with Saturn energetic, emotional, wounding crap, when we look in our relationships, we may find Saturn and find difficulty and find judgment and find coldness or find a door closed. Now, that's just a general thing. Now, what we're supposed to be doing, if that happens, is take responsibility for how our relationships are going. Speak up. Open the lines of communication. One of the Saturn healing opportunities that many, many people need is to learn to show up as an equal within their relationships. This is an incredibly important part. If you're taking notes, put 10 or 11 stars next to that one, 11 stars next to that one, because especially as I work with a lot of people with Pluto and Libra natally, the soul's wounding has a lot to do with lack of fairness and harmony. And these people need to... and these are the births from roughly 1971 to 84, and this whole sub-generation need to show up and tell others who they are and then listen to who the other person is. And Saturn wants us to be realistic about what it takes to create fairness and harmony. So I can tell you who I am, but if I don't listen to who you are, then I'm not doing it right. And if I only listen to who you are and I ask you what you need and I don't speak up about what I need and who I am, then I'm also not doing it right. And because Saturn's in Libra, regardless of what you do or don't have in Libra, but because Saturn's in Libra, it's hard work, because you have to weather withstand the tiny roller coasters of the day, the emotional roller coasters of the day. Saturn says, get grounded. This is going to be a work. You have something here to learn that is perhaps not the easiest thing to learn. So now as it goes retrograde, starting in early February, how we have been doing Libra as a response to this Saturnian invitation to do hard work within a relationship, or to be realistic, if we're not in a relationship, the other side of it is, to be realistic about what we want and need from others and what we expect from others. And within relationship, that counts too. But if you're not in a relationship right now, don't say, well, I mean, this might not apply to me then. No, it truly does. Because Libra is a motivation and a method in every single one of you, every single one of us. So the retrograde will say, great, you responded to this call for hard work earlier. Well, how's it going? So it's important now to realistically assess and revisit and perhaps alter what has been happening, what your choices have gotten you. Now just look at what your choices have yielded, let's say it that way. Look at what you've gotten. Look at what's been yielded. Look at how you have or have not spoken up to others and why. And understand that the Saturn retro invites us to employ some course corrections where things don't work. Again, get grounded. So, and download that meditation from my homepage on the right-hand column. It's free. It's 13 minutes. Please download it if you haven't already. And get grounded so that you can weather the roller coaster of today and tomorrow and work on this. That's the only way to make Saturn happy. Realism, realistic work that achieves an end. You know, all of us want Libra to go well. We want relationships to go well. And every human, in essence, is majoring in the learning lessons of creating fairness, harmony, balance, and equality and justice. It's an incredibly important part here. Not to say that Libra is the most important sign, but as, you know, all these this image from that I pass on from Jehudi quite frequently of divine source is all together and it can't know itself, so it splits itself off into discrete pieces, souls, and forgets its true nature, or each soul forgets its true nature, and then we come here, we're tied to time, we live these lives, we're born, we grow up, we die. And so we, like divine source, needs others to learn about itself. We need other people. So in essence, we're all, you know, most of us, many for portions of our lives, very focused on Libra. And Saturn right now wants us to clear it up. So rethinking responsibility in terms of the Saturn and Libra transit is that in your relationship, what are you responsible for? And it's actually a useful exercise for, if you haven't done this this sort of thing, to sit down and write down what you think you're responsible for within your relationships. It doesn't have to be a romantic or spouse partner type relationship, but some relationship where you feel there's tension right now. Write down what you think you're responsible for. And then write down, make some notes on what you would either like to be responsible for or what you think you should be responsible for. Because the reality of what you think you are responsible for versus should be responsible for is probably different. Meaning you probably do things in and for your relationships that might not work for you. Put a period on that, new paragraph, and then write down what the other person, what you think that person's responsible for, and what you think that person should be responsible for. And now you've got kind of four, you know, sub-lists, you know, two categories of four lists. And in that piece of paper will be revealed what you need to learn about Saturn with Saturn in Libra. It could be that you see something you wrote down and say, well, that's a little absurd. Why would I think I'm responsible for that? Or why would I expect somebody else to be responsible for that for me? Or you might see the gap in a certain issue, a certain line item, between what you feel you are responsible for versus what you feel you should be responsible for. It could be the gap in there that opens a door. But this is a wonderful exercise, and Saturn will love it because you'll sit down for an hour and a half and work on a list. And Saturn also is not interested in that you stop there, but that you should also take this to the person you're in relationship with. And that is kind of the Saturn frontier, the kind of you know, Western Front, the kind of difficult place to go and hang out with Saturn, is then bringing that information that you've just learned about yourself and you've uncovered to the other person. And you know, perhaps the other person will be inspired to do the same thing. And if you're in a relationship where any kind of relationship where this sounds like an interesting idea, and you're both Saturnian enough or willing to be to do it, because I could see a lot of people not being willing to do it. I'm frankly not willing to do it, though I may someday be cajoled into doing it. But it's kind of like the Saturnian part of us may not want to do it because there's all this judgment about things, and might not want to be. Frankly, vulnerable enough, but I'm just throwing it out there to you in case you think that's useful. So that's the Saturn in Libra, what you're responsible for within relationship. Now, another thing about Libra, being inclined, when we live Libra stories, sometimes we're inclined to not speak up so we don't ruffle other people's feathers. And this is a way of attempting to create peace or to keep the peace or maintain stability in some way. And yet there are things about you that others need to hear that they might find difficult. It's just a natural state of things. And Saturn here wants us to be really, really clear about what we need to do and how we can do it. So bring yourself to another. Take responsibility for showing up as an equal, but also create and hold space for that other person to show him or herself to you as well. And then there's the work of negotiation and compromise, which is ultimately the end goal with Saturn in Libra here. But realistic, grounded, mature, responsible cooperation leading to compromise. Many of us actually give up way too much in relationship and aren't sure how to assert what we want. And relationships are a process, and Saturn here says they are always a process. It will, in fact, never stop being a process. So again, just to recap this section of the conversation, look at what a responsibility is within a relationship and how you've been responding to Saturn being there, how you've responded to any difficulty or a call to mature or a call to get more structured in your relationships. There's also a thing here, you know, when we live Libra stories, we might be attached to certain ways of being because we might have other people doing things for us energetically and emotionally. And Saturn wants us to put a stop to that rather quickly. And so if the person you're with in whatever relationship says this is a boundary and this is structure that I have to have, a part of you may need to mourn somebody else being 100% available or whatever percentage available that person has been. And in the course of that, you might need to see what it is. The person might not have any idea what it is. You might not know. But you might then have the opportunity to see just what it is you're really doing in a relationship, what you may be trying to get somebody else to do for you that in fact you need to do for yourself. This is just a part and parcel of the grounded, structured, realistic invitation that Saturn brings in the lens of relationship. Again, I encourage you to check out that MP3 on my site. I think it's $10. It's really affordable. I think it's an hour, hour and a half long. I go through this story and explain a lot of these things in more detail. Okay, and then to move on to Neptune and Pisces, first I want to actually tell you how to get $25 discounted on the e-course, the Soul Healing Forgiveness e-course that I'm beginning this coming Saturday. And just one note about the e-course, there are three group calls every other week, at the end of the second, at the end of the fourth, at the end of the sixth week, and that's as long as the course is 6 weeks. And those are group calls for an hour where we share notes and wrap up these two-week modules or segments. Other than that, everything is at your own pace. And so this is open to everyone everywhere, and it's an incredibly important opportunity. I was telling somebody who I think might be on this call who has Pluto in Virgo who signed up for the course. She was asking me if she felt it was a good idea, and I was like, you have Pluto in Virgo. It's, you know, this at the soul level, judging so much. Like, please release yourself from responsibility. That's a major theme for Virgo. And so I think that I frankly think that every human should have this, should take advantage of this opportunity, because these channeled meditations that come from Jehudi adjust your consciousness. You listen to these 5-minute MP3s once a day, of the course of the 6 weeks, There are three different ones, but we rotate them. And you listen to them, and they affect your consciousness behind the scenes. And they change what's going on in your level of awareness. So this is incredibly powerful. And then there are also weekly written or typed channelings from Jehudi about the themes of the theme of the week, including questions at the end of each one just through your process. So you get a little bit of homework, but it's really to get you into loving yourself. It's really to get you into seeing how you can shed judgments from the past and move forward. So that it's just incredibly powerful. I've taught two rounds of it, and I've had people just raving about it. And you can read on my site the full flyer with all the information. But anyway, send me, if you want to take the course, it's $195. And if you send me an email that says, with the subject line, I forgive, I'll give you $25 off. Check, PayPal is great, and either one. And it begins this coming Saturday. I'll send the first things on Saturday, and then the first call is actually 2 weeks after that on the 18th, the first group call. And that leads us straight into, one other note on that. I call it the Soul Healing Forgiveness Course. One of the things is the full title is actually Soul Healing, Forgiveness, and Giving and Taking Back Energy. And this is really about cleaning up relationships with self and other. And the first 2 weeks of the e-course are about forgiving the self. Second 2 weeks are about forgiving others. And then... And different people have different hurdles with those two modules. Some find the first section easy, some find the second one easy. And then the third section of the course is giving and taking back energy. And in metaphysical circles, there's a big thing about cutting cords when relationships are done or when we're attached to people or longing for people if they're gone for some reason. And there's a violence in that we want to do it actually gently. We want to give back energy and take back energy, and you begin to own who you were with those people, and that helps heal the relationship and helps you move on. So it's an incredibly important opportunity. I hope all of you take advantage of this. To get 25 off, send me an email that's with the title, I Forgive, and I'll give you the $25 off. So now the Neptune and Pisces moving into this. We have the opportunity to align our consciousness with higher truth. That's the bottom line of it. And yet many, many of us have impulses to escape higher truth because we don't know how to understand how to connect with the divine. Many of us crave this. People with prominent Neptunes have to do it one way or the other. You know, prominent 12th house, prominent Pisces placements must learn to orient consciousness in to a higher source. And yet many of us have a lot of problems doing that. There are different reasons why. This call is going to be an hour, but I'm going to go about 5 minutes over, just so you know. So another like 7 or 8 minutes, and we'll go, just so you know. I don't want to keep you too long. But I do want to say more things about this. I didn't expect the channel message to be a half an hour. I thought it was going to be about 10 minutes, which is, you know, why. But then he wanted to talk about the planetary things too a little bit, and it just took a little longer. We need to connect to something outside ourselves and raise our consciousness level, but many of us have a real hard time doing that. Many of us have appealed to external means to alter consciousness. Now, when Neptune hits Pisces, those Neptunian people, may have the impulse to escape even more. And yet, if you don't, if you get grounded, if you get some vetiver, which is an essential oil that will help you ground, if you get some tiger iron or hematite or red jasper and you help ground or tiger iron or tiger's eye, if you ground yourself, if you send cords into the earth and you stand barefoot on rocks and dirt, if you hug trees, like I'm kind of being facetious, but like if you get grounded, you don't have to escape. The tools for altering consciousness, the technologies for higher consciousness are available to you if you choose not to escape via a chemical or behavioral or video game or pornographic means. So I'm asking you to explore what it would take for you, every single one of you, to absolutely never escape anything. Get grounded. Feel all you can feel. Cry out whatever you have to cry out, because the reason we escape is because we don't want to feel what we're feeling. Generally speaking, and your life will rocket into the future into your next phase of evolution as a divine being, recalling your true nature. But the more chemicals that are in your body, and the more often that you work with them, and also I say chemicals, whatever, drugs, alcohol, but seriously, TV, movies, Netflix, games of all kinds, you know, like I said, porn, food, all these different things, all of those things can keep you from being clear. So Neptune and Pisces, the collective invitation is to step into clarity. But individuals must choose to do that before it can happen. There is no blanket event or blanket effect that Neptune and Pisces will have. It is not that, you know, some people had some ideas several years before the end of the Mayan calendar that, you know, because it's about consciousness, maybe more people will be psychic, et cetera. And the same thing with Neptune and Pisces. Like, you know, will animals and trees and rocks start talking to us? Only if you're open enough to be willing to adjust your frequency with clarity in order to hear what the rocks and the trees and the puppies are saying. So, you know, kind of, again, tongue-in-cheek, but this is real. Like, I actually, a friend of mine and I went to a pet store last night wanting to see animals. We went to two pet stores. And in one, we were watching these two, I guess, parakeets. And I haven't really spent time around birds. I rented a room from a woman years and years ago, and she had two birds, but they kind of drove me crazy at that point. I was up in my head, and I couldn't stand the noises. But so we were standing looking at these different animals, and I was watching these birds, and I was really having this Neptunian moment of adjusting my awareness level to theirs. Now, it wasn't easy, and it didn't fully happen, but I was relaxing into basically narrowing my bandwidth to match theirs. And it was absolutely fascinating. And for the first time in my life, I could see myself having birds in my house as pets, like hanging out with them. And this is a Neptune about to bust into Pisces moment because you have the ability to adjust your consciousness to receive any information that you want, to learn any truth that you want, to identify as a being, to understand the truth about why people create what they do in their lives, including yourself. You have that opportunity. It's available to you now. When Neptune hits Pisces in now under a week, it's on February 3rd, there is this increased impetus to Neptune. So where's your Neptune right now? What are you up to? What are you doing? You know, how do you relate to the notion of surrendering individual identity and merging with something outside yourself? So a lot of us will actually face this some tension about trying to figure out how we can trust the universe or life or God or whatever in order to relax into that. So again, the hour-long Neptune and Pisces MP3 is on my site. I encourage you to get that. And actually, if you want that and the Saturn MP3, I'll give you five bucks off the pair. Just email me and let me know. But these are really really important with Neptune going into Pisces and what this invitation is. And the last thing I'll say about this is that people often say that you can't really talk about Neptune, you know, and part of that is because the experience of Neptune sometimes can't be articulated, but we can talk for hours and days and months and years about bringing a conception or sense, not a conception, a sense, an experience of the divine into manifest reality. And that's what really Neptune is about. So we can talk about it. We can talk about it. Sometimes we can't think through it. Sometimes it's a fog and we can't always see through it with our rational minds. But there is a portion of us, and this is connected to us through our seventh chakra, the crown, the top of the head, that can function in this way. And I'll tell you from experience, from going from somebody who is administrative type and data manager and scientific librarian type years ago, eight, 9 years ago, into being a professional channel medium and channeling an ascended master, for years, I'll tell you that being grounded is the single greatest tool. So go to my site and download that. Get these MP3s. Take the Forgiveness E-Course to clear the decks. Again, send me an email with the subject line, I forgive, and I'll give you $25 off the fee for this six-week amazing e-course. Thank you so much for calling in today and listening to Jehudi and myself talk at you for a while. I really appreciate all the support that you offer me and my work. And go to my site to get these MP3s and to see all the books. In fact, I have a code to get 20% off each of my books on my site on the media page. So you can check those out too if you're interested. And four of those are channeling from Jehudi. So keep in touch. Thanks for calling in. And until next time, bye-bye.